Hi, this is Frank Dunn reading for you from this week's edition of the Revere Journal. On behalf of the Talking Information Center located in Marshfield, the CONSCOM hears of plans for replacement of Kisasa Bridge, Meeting of the Aces. Kilduff meets Roger Clemens at Sports World. Comment period open on CDBG action plan and Forbes property on Chelsea Creek sold to Mass Audubon. Now let's take them in order here. CONSCOM hears of plans for the replacement of the overpass. And this edition is April 8th of 2026. Of course, the Revere Conservation Commission, CONSCOM, C-O-M-M, held its regular monthly meeting last Wednesday evening, April 1st, in the City Council Chambers. Chair Nicholas Rudolph, Joseph Laval, Brian Averback, Bernardo Sepulveda, Thomas Carlton, a new member, Anthony Parziali, and Wilson Correa were on hand for the session. The members first took up a request for approval of a notice of intent NOI filed by the Mass Department of Transportation, DOT, for the Andrew A. Kisasa Bridge Replacement Project on the Revere Beach Parkway, Route 161, at the intersection of Route 107 Broadway, near the Cronin Rink. Michael Rooney, with the traffic engineering firm of Howard Stein Hudson, HSH, the world is just one big acronym, presented the application to the members. This is a structurally deficient bridge that is at the end of its service life, said Rooney. The new bridge structure will be built on the same footprint as the present bridge, but will have a pedestrian and ADA access, Americans with Disabilities Act, plus bicycle accommodations, which will be on Broadway only. There also will be improvements to drainage with an increase in floodwater storage. The bridge is located adjacent to Mill Creek, with the portions within the land subject to coastal storm flowage. That's a good word. There will be no direct impacts to bordering vegetated lands, wetlands, the salt marsh, or the coastal bank. Chris Lyman from HSH explained the details of the plan, which accompanying engineering plans. He said that project will be done in three stages to allow for traffic to be able to proceed within work is in, while work is in process, with the final stage also including work on Broadway underneath the bridge. Rudolph asked questions about clearing out debris from the catch basin and urged more frequent cleanup than is presently done. Laval made note of the large trees that are in the immediate area of the project. I'd hate to lose them, said Laval, who was assured that only one of the trees will be removed, but three new trees will be planted. This is a bridge, but it is the gateway to our city, said Averback. The brush that is there now on the slope traps trash and looks terrible. I think it would be nice if the area can be landscaped so that it will look definitely better than what is there now. He was told that the brush will be removed as part of the project, for it will be landscaped with loam and grass. Averback also asked about the impact of the proposed bike lanes, which he said everyone hates on Broadway, and was told that the addition of the bike lanes will be have minimal impact on vehicular traffic. The bridge was constructed in 1931 and was the first ever overpass built in Massachusetts. Andrew A. Casassa was the mayor of Revere from 1929 to 1934 and was first municipal executive of Italian descent in the Commonwealth. Casassa also served in the legislature as a state representative and state senator. The members voted unanimously to approve the NOI and to issue the order of conditions. The start of the project, which initially was announced in 2022, is set for 2027, and will take 3 years to complete. Oh, yeah. The commission next took up the emergency order of conditions regarding an incident and subsequent mitigation at the point of Pines Yacht Club, which is serving as the staging area for the construction of the new MWRA backup water pipeline from Revere to Lynn, which will be 35 feet beneath the Pines River that caused two sinkholes. Alejandro Alvarez, the construction coordinator for the MWRA, and Jennifer Doyle Breen, a senior technical advisor with the consulting firm of AECOM, told the commissioners that the two sinkholes were discovered in early March, and the CONSCOM issued emergency orders to allow for the sinkholes to be filled. At the same time, it was discovered that there was a weld break in a conductor barrel that required trenching to repair. Breen said that both sinkholes have been filled in, and the berm that was excavated from digging the trench box and weld break retrieval has been restored. She said that approved sand was used to fill the sinkholes and the berm in coordination with the Revere DPW. I want to thank you for your transparency and the communication throughout the process, said Rudolph Alvarez. Noted that the project is supposed to be completed within a few months. The next matter that was a request for the amended order of conditions, OOC, for the residential project at 37 River Beach Boulevard and West Street, because the property has been mapped out of the floodplain since the application initially was reviewed and approved by the CONSCOM in May of 2023. Peter Blaisdell from the firm of Williams and Sparagas, that's a good try, LLC, presented the request. He said that the new OOC is needed in order to expedite the process of the placement of an emergency transformer by a National Grid. Under the previous OOC, the transformer was required to be 10 feet above ground level. With that new mapping, the new proposal will place the transformer 1 foot above ground level. The members, so who the week before had toured the site where the building already is well under construction, unanimously approved the amended OOC. The members next heard of the continued hearing for an NOI for the large mixed-use project, 80 residential units with a restaurant, retail, and parking garages at 76-282 Revere Beach Boulevard. The CONSCOM heard the matter last month, but was unable to issue an order of conditions because the MassDEP had yet to issue a file number, which is required before a local conservation committee can approve an NOI and issue the OOC. After Blaisdell, who also presented the proposal, answered a few questions from the members, the voting was simultaneously approving the NOI. Five properties presented are the site, presently are the site of four businesses, including the iconic Bill's Ash Lounge and the Twist and Shake ice cream. However, the contractor and said demolition is not expected to start until the fall, and that will allow the businesses to remain open during this summer season. Here's a story about Revere Autism Day. The City of Revere held its annual autism awareness ceremony April 2nd at City Hall Plaza. Because of the inclement weather, the speaking program was moved indoors. DEI Director Stephen Morabito delivered the opening remarks, welcoming counselors Joanne McKenna, Angela Guarino, Sawaya, Mark Silvestri, Paul Argenzio, and Ivor Novoleski, and school committee members Stephen DeMario, Jacqueline Montesaro, John Kingston, Aisha Milberry Ellis, and Anthony Cagliano. And boy, if I have trouble with these names. Today we recognize World Autism Awareness Day, a time to increase understanding and more. Importantly, to be there for the individuals on the autism spectrum and their families, said Morabito, Mayor Patrick Keefe, and Representative Jessica Giannino, each delivered remarks in honor of the celebration. During the inspirational speech, Keith invited a student in the Revere Life Skills class at the Revere Recreational Center to participate in a full day shadowing the mayor visit to his office and City Hall. Keen also announced that there will be an All Abilities Boxing event on May 9th at the Revere Boxing Gym on Winthrop Avenue. I think it is so important that we take time every single year to honor autism awareness in our community, making sure that the people in the community feel included, said Giannino. And that's what today is all about, letting people know that Revere is a welcoming community, that there's a place for everyone for all abilities. Giannino also thanked the mayor for, quote, always making sure that the City of Revere is inclusive, end quote. Here's the story about the meeting of the Aces. The former Revere High School basketball star Kilduff meets Roger Clemens at Sports World. Derek Kilduff was an ace pitcher at the Revere Little League in McLaughlin Field, McMackinfield in the 1980s, so it's easy to understand why his favorite baseball player was Roger Clemens. Kilduff played all three seasons with future Red Sox draft pick Mike Spinelli, manager John Pruitt, Yankee team, winning three RLL major division championship. I pitched all through Little League and tried to pattern my style after Clemens, recalled Kilduff. I didn't pitch in high school, but I pitched all 4 years in college, Fitchburg State, that is, and Clemens was my guy. Kilduff was a starting third season for a great Revere High School team, and going 5-for-5 on opening day versus Matignon, both Spinelli and outfielder Frankie Candela were MLB draft picks from Coach Al. Blazy's memorial, memorable, contingent, while catcher David Lightbody later starred at the University of New Hampshire. Kilduff reaffirmed his childhood admiration and respect for Clemens by attending the Rockets autograph signing appearance on March 23rd at the Sporting World memorabilia shop that is owned by former Revere resident Phil Castagnetti. He brought his son, Cody Kilduff, to the event, noting that Cody was named after one of Roger Clemens' four sons. Roger talked to my son and asked him what position he plays. Kildow said he asked Cody what's the best pitch in baseball, and Cody said he liked throwing a changeup. Clemens' response was, changeups are very nice, but the best pitch in baseball is the first strike. So he gave my son a little insight. Now 49, Kilduff had added about his time with the 63-year-old Clemens. I couldn't believe he was in Saugus. It was amazing to see him. I had him sign his rookie card with Rocket underneath his name. He was the greatest pitcher I've ever seen, Clemens, and Pedro Martinez. Derek is the youngest brother of Michelle Kilduff, former Revere High class of 1992 softball pitching phenomenon, who went on to play one season at New Hampshire College. When I was pitching for the JV team and she was pitching varsity, my dad, that's Paul, would have to go back and forth to watch us play, she said. Said Derek, rather. The great thing about Michelle was that she never walked anybody, so she threw no hitters, perfect games, and it was a big deal if an opposing team even got a hit off of her. Residents can still apply for home heating assistance through April 30th. As the home heating system comes to a close, Massachusetts residents have until April 30th to apply for support from the Home Energy Assistance Program, HEAP. As in Uriah, HEAP provides financial support to eligible households to pay a portion of their winter heating bills. Residents can learn more and submit an application at mass.gov/heat. Many Massachusetts families are still feeling the strain of this winter's heating costs, said Juana Matias, the Secretary of Housing and Livable Communities. With the April 30th deadline approaching, now is the time to see if you qualify for home heating benefits. HEAP can provide a meaningful relief, and we encourage residents to apply now or help spread the word to someone who may need support. Following a colder than average winter that increased heating usage across the state, many households continue to face elevated energy costs compounded by rising energy prices. Residents may apply through April 30th for assistance to receive assistance for heating expenses during the winter month. HEAP is a free statewide program that provides grants paid directly to heating providers to help eligible householders cover with their heating costs. The assistance does not need to be repaid. The program is available to both renters and homeowners and covers all heating sources, including oil and natural gas, electricity, propane, kerosene, wood, and coal. Eligibility is based on several factors, including household size and income, and households do not need to be on public assistance or have overdue bills to qualify. Residents whose heat is included in their rent may also be eligible. Remember that residents can apply online or connect with their local HEAP agency at mass.gov/heat. Here's a story regarding the Forbes property on Chelsea Creek. The 18-acre Forbes property has been sold to Mass Audubon. We can report that the receiver has officially sold the property to Mass Audubon for $8.36 million, said Maltese in a letter to the city council. As part of the city will receive over $1 million in back taxes and property liens. The city will also receive all costs appropriated by the city council for the receivership. The land is the former site of the Forbes lithograph manufacturing company and has been abandoned for nearly two decades in several residential and mixed-use plans. Came close to fruition, but never really materialized fully. The November of 24, there was a massive nine alarm fire at the Forbes site. In late 24, the property was placed in receivership, requested the city of Chelsea a legal step that opened a window of opportunity for the partnership to actively pursue the acquisition of the property, according to Mass Audubon. Mass Audubon garnered and partnered with a local environmental justice nonprofit, Green Roots, and the neighborhood developers, a local community development corporation, to transform 18 acres of waterfront property in Chelsea into a broadly accessible, climate resilient park, mixed income housing and community amenities along the Chelsea Creek waterfront. Current plans call for up to 225 units of mixed income housing. According to Mass Audubon, the vision for the project includes a nature center, outdoor classroom, an accessible green space. According to Mass Audubon, the project partners will be developing a community engagement plan so members of the Chelsea community have a say in the future development of the site. The efforts to transform the property received a boost recently when the state superior court judge overseeing the receivership approved Mass Audubon's offer to purchase the property. Green Roots and the residents of Chelsea have been actively engaged in this critically important site for over two decades, said Roseanne Bongiovini. I hope I got that one right. Executive director of Green Roots and lifelong Chelsea residents who grew up near the site. As we work to create more waterfront access and green space and achieve environmental justice, we see that this parcel offers multiple opportunities for the community that we are excited to realize. Once residents deserve to access this historically important site in a way that is welcoming and beneficial for all, while there is much work to be done, we are celebrating this monumental milestone for our community, for grassroots, and for the environmental and climate justice. Mass Audubon officials stated that the organization intends to spend the next few months performing site evaluations and environmental testing. The Forbes company had an extensive industrial presence from the mid-80s through the 1960s, the 1880s through the 1960s. And while some environmental remediation has been performed, additional testing must be conducted, they stated. In addition, existing infrastructure needs to be evaluated as well, including the access bridge over the MBTA commuter rail and an existing seawall. Mass Audubon's experience conserving land and protecting biodiversity, combined with the community's input and our invaluable partners who live and work in Chelsea, means that we have the expertise and commitment to turn this dream into reality, said David O'Neill, president and CEO of Mass Audubon. The opportunity to create an accessible oasis of open space while also bolstering climate resilience is fully aligned with our mission, and we look forward to partnering with community members. Rafael Mares, executive director of the Neighborhood Developers, said Chelsea residents need more public parks, access to the waterfront, and affordable homes. The project promises to deliver all of the above at the same time. And in the same locations, as stated Mares, the partnership between Mass Audubon, Green Roots, and TND intentionally combines green space and water front access and with affordable homes to create powerful benefits for each amenity could not deliver alone. The next steps for the site, according to the project partners, include updating public safety measures and temporarily blocking access to the site by repairing fencing and reboarding up buildings, removing the damaged and vandalized buildings, while preserving historic elements for future reuse, and repairing the seawall to protect Chelsea Creek and Mill Creek from pollutants and build climate resiliency in the face of sea level rise. Here's a schedule of Revere City Council upcoming meetings for the month of April. April 13th, Monday at 5 o'clock, Ways and Means. Monday the 13th at 5:30, Zoning. Monday, April 13th at 6 p.m., the City Council meeting. And Monday, April 27th at 6 p.m., also another City Council meeting. The Revere High School Robo Nerds were crowned National Alliance Champions in their rookie season. They have achieved a remarkable milestone, claiming the title of National Alliance Champions at the Robot Drone League National Championship that was held recently on March 23rd and March 28th. This has been Frank Dunn reading for you from the Revere Journal. On behalf of the Talking Information Center, I want you all to have a great weekend.